might also.
They got volume.
Everything's coming through, by the way.
Is it?
Your conversation.
Give me some thumbs up if you can hear. 90.1. Are we hearing? We're getting some thumbs up. Welcome here. St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church drive-in service, 90.1 FM. Should I use my radio voice?
Yes, please.
Yes, please, he says. I hope some of you had a chance to download the bulletin for the service. There's an order of service, but there's also a long list of announcements. Just want to cover a few of those. But in the first, as we get started today, Sunday, June 28th, church picnic. We're picnicking at a distance.
Picnicking.
Yeah, really at a distance here this morning. And later on, Pastor Nick is going to be sharing with us on the good question of how important are Sunday gatherings for our faith. We look forward to that in a short while. In the meantime, as we begin, I read the scripture from Hebrews chapter 10. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of Christ approaching. As we begin our worship, just to draw attention to some of the announcements and things, there is a letter from Pastor Nick with regards to the COVID-19 situation, just informing you that the church will be taking its time, a slow and cautious approach to reopening, and over the next couple of weeks making adjustments as to how we reopen, and church council be meeting later in July for further discussions, and that will also include German service for those for whom that is an important service. In the meantime, encouraging small groups to meet for worship, please gather in social bubbles or distance gatherings, groups of up to 10. Pastor Nick is also working on preparing a survey to invite some response as to how we re-engage as a church in September. And in the midst of all this, we invite your prayers for continuing situation, not only for us as a church, but for the wider community and for folks around the world. There was also, with the attachments, a COVID-19 screening tool. You've probably seen those in different locations, but please make reference to that over time. We want to share in prayer for family of Rocky and Sandra Morda. Rocky's father, Dominic, experienced an accident, and we also express condolences to the family of Mike DeFabio. That's son-in-law of Herta Suskin, brother-in-law of Bill and Ingrid Secord, and husband of Vicky. Mike passed away this past week, June 21st. For our drive-in service today, thank you for coming and risking the opportunity to share together here at the church. And we ask that you please remain in your cars. And I know there's been a lot of debate about having windows rolled up, especially since we are parked well beyond physical distancing space. Leave that to your discretion. And if it's too warm, please do feel free to run your air conditioning. But just to let you know, we ask that you not enter into the church. Just so you know, there's nothing in your mailbox because there's nothing in any of the boxes, so you don't need to go and check.
No bills.
And no bills, no checks.
Oh, you heard that?
Oh, yeah, everybody heard that.
Oh, shucks.
When Trudy's asking about bills, just so you know, the bills at the church continue.
Oh, that's right.
They
See,
do.
I led right into
they
it,
continue. As you leave, ushers will have opportunity for you to share offering in support of the ministries of the church, and we deeply appreciate your continued support during these days and months. For those of you who have children or grandchildren, there will be a virtual vacation Bible camp. Information's listed there or on the website, July 13, 17, and it'll be a little bit different, but certainly looking forward to that. I know youth worker Taya Himes has been working hard with a group on that and looking forward to it. Also, another note, just for those of you who do drop by weekly for donations to the church, the day of the week is changing from Tuesday to Wednesday, starting this week, 9:30 to 10:30. And also remind you there are numerous options for online worship services, both from the church here, but also Niagara United Mennonite is on Cogeco TV. Mennonite Church Canada website has services, as well as Mennonite Church Eastern Canada. Well, again, welcome to the service this morning. And as we prepare, I share this psalm reading with you from Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the beard, running down on the beard. It's as if the dew of Mount Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, thank you for the sunshine and the rain. Thank you for the evidence of things growing in our community, in our gardens. Thank you also for these challenging times that cause us to reflect more on our relationships with one another and with you. Bless our time together, gathering here at the church, also those who are listening later by internet. May your grace provide what we need these days for healing and hope, to restore our lives to some semblance of normal practices. May your grace provide what is needed for Rocky Morta's father, for the Fabio family at the loss of Mike, for others who are experiencing illness or challenges in various ways. We ask for your grace. Be with us now during this time of worship. Thank you for the community gathered here and scattered in our homes and other places. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Music.
Music.
Music. Alvin, Rose, and Trudy.
Okay, we're going to be singing our worship song, This Is the Day, and we'll be singing verse 1, and we will repeat verse 1. Okay? Well, let's do all four. Why not? We're here. We're going to be singing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And if you have your bulletins, we will sing all the verses. Opening to the sun.
Well, good morning. It's odd not being able to hear myself. I was joking beforehand that Pastor Randy has a voice for radio, and I maybe have a face for radio, as they say. But it's good to be here. It's good to see you through your windshields. If you'd like, again, the choice is yours as to whether you'd like to roll your windows down at this point now that singing's through or not. But we'll leave that, as Randy said, Pastor Randy said, at your discretion. Our reading for today comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 46. And I'll read that for you now. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. As far as the reading of God's word. As mentioned, and as we've noted, we're continuing our good question series today based on questions that have been submitted by you from our congregation. And the good question for today is, how important are Sunday gatherings for our faith? And we thought it was a fitting one for a day like this when we tried an experiment like this. It's helpful maybe to note that this was a question that was submitted well before everything began to unfold these past few months and our doors came to be closed. But it's a question that's been on many people's minds ever since. How important are Sunday gatherings for our faith? For some of you, I know the answer's been clear. It is clear. For you, it isn't even a question. Sunday gathering on Sunday is critical. It's essential. To be church is to be together. There's no replacement for embodied or in-person worship. We drag ourselves out of beds and get dressed up every weekend and award our Sunday school children little gold star stickers because we believe it's important. To be sustained and to grow in your faith requires this practice of coming together in a shared space with others, week in and week out. Others of you, though, may answer the question a bit differently. We've been forced, after all, to find other ways to worship and connect with one another and seem to have made it work, at least sort of. We believe that we haven't ceased to be the church during this time. We've been able to do it in some ways from our own homes. And there are, after all, lots of people who, because of health or geography or work or persecution, aren't able to be with others for Sunday services either, even if it wasn't a pandemic. And we might ask, is their faith any less for it? How important are Sunday gatherings for our faith? This question, of course, has become even more pointed as churches like ours consider the risks and weigh the options around reopening in these days. I chose this passage from Acts as my text. And I have to say that in a lot of ways, it's hard today to imagine doing any of the things that the early church, the early Christians, are said to have done in these verses. You might have caught this online trend a few weeks back of people sharing photographs that were taken just before lockdown started happening, kind of the last photo before the outbreaks. Photos of activities that are impossible to do now, laughable really, like being lined up at a busy theme park or crowded around tables in a packed restaurant. I wonder if looking at this picture of the church in Acts is maybe a bit like that. Maybe feels a bit like looking back at one of those photos. 3.5 months into this all, it's maybe hard to remember a world in which everyone was able to be together like those early Christians were said to be in those verses. A world in which people meet together for worship in crowded courtyards like they did and visit inside of one another's homes and sit at a table and break bread and pass it between bare hands. It's maybe hard to imagine that today or remember those being things we could do and can do. And I think it's hard not to miss being able to do them as well, to really miss them maybe. It's hard not to want to go back to that because watching a pre-recorded sermon or reading a manuscript that you've received in the mail is not at all the same as engaging with it in person. Because singing along alone to a recording is nothing like hearing it in harmony from your family and friends around you. And because a couch or a lawn chair or your sweaty, sticky driver's seat just isn't the same as a familiar spot on an old wooden pew. And because being told to have a picnic on your own after a service is hardly as appealing and certainly not the same as being by the lakeside with your friends and family and sharing one there. This vision of the church in Acts, as we see it described here, this picture of the church with growing gatherings and sharing of meals and materials and these intimate exchanges maybe feels like a far-off dream from where we sit today. I wonder if perhaps we felt our experience, our situation is more akin to Paul's times of isolation in a Roman prison cell, or the Israelites' wilderness wanderings, or John's experience in exile. Times instead of being alone, times of being in between or out of place, times of disruption or disorientation. How important are Sunday gatherings for our faith? Maybe another way of asking it is, why bother? Why bother logging in and listening each weekend when you could be watching other things or doing other things? Why bother going through the confusing work of setting up a service like this, where you can listen through your radio? Why bother coming here and sitting in your hot cars? Why bother trying to sort out circles and social groups so you can gather in backyards every Sunday? Why bother putting all this time and effort into preparing our building so that eventually we can come back to worship that requires masks and is missing some of our most beloved parts? And why bother, we might ask, even do this on a good day, a normal day, a day without a pandemic? Why bother using the little free time you have each weekend when you could be sleeping in or giving your kids proper naps or playing golf or working on the yard or picking up another shift? Why bother doing this thing that Christians for centuries have been so determined to do 52 plus times a year? This thing that the church in Acts here is said to have done 7 days a week, 365 days a year. For a lot of people, I think the answer is simple. Don't bother. And I have to say, I get that, and I've been there. There's plenty of Sundays over the course of my life when I've had to push myself to get out the door and go and be with God's people. At times when I've chosen maybe what's felt like the path of least resistance instead and stayed home instead. And yet I've continued to find this image of the gathered church as we see it here in Acts profoundly compelling. I find it intriguing and irresistible in so many ways. I continue to come back to this belief that while there might be circumstances or situations that are such that we're not able to gather for a season, there is no alternative. There's no other way. Because no one, we believe, can grow or flourish in isolation. No one is an island. No part of Christ's body can exist amputated or do the fullness of God's work on its own. And because, like those earliest believers, we have gifts to share and encouragement to offer one another and challenge to speak into one another's life. Because it's simply a joy to be together and share with one another and to smile and shake hands and embrace and join our voices and lift up our hearts together as we look to God. This is exactly what we see in these verses I read. Not so much, I don't think, a grueling sense of duty or rote repetition, but a loving devotion that spills out into daily gatherings, daily worship. They had glad and sincere hearts, Luke writes. They were constantly in awe at the wonders that God was doing. And so we bother. We've been bothering a lot, so to speak, over the past few months, as we've had to radically rethink and rework what it means to be church and do church in this time. We've innovated and changed plans and come up with creative alternatives. Along with so many congregations, we've done our best to stumble through this thing. And we didn't have to bother. I know that some churches have more or less shuttered things completely, save their phone trees. And while those might have been decisions that make good sense for those contexts and those communities, we believe and have been compelled, like those earliest Christians, to seek to be community and to be connected as best we can through this time. And so we've bothered, and you've continued to bother as well as you've come along with that and worked along with that as well. As we've done this, I believe we've been reminded, perhaps more than we ever have, that church is us as a people, and not a building. That, of course, as well, was the reality for the early church in Acts. They didn't have sanctuaries with pews and places to sit in. We're told that they used public outdoor spaces like temple yards and that they met inside their own homes. And so we believe that we can likewise still be church from our patios and our living rooms. And we can be church even sitting around looking silly like us today, like sluggish customers outside a mall. Provided, of course, we don't stay here for too long and become like baked potatoes. Perhaps the most challenging thing that we've had to acknowledge is that if loving our neighbors and protecting the most vulnerable in society is what's part of what church is about, then perhaps the best and most loving thing we could do as a church for a season is to not gather. And that's been really hard, I think, for a lot of us to come to terms with, because during a time like this, during difficult seasons like this, church is who we want to be with more than anyone else. So this is something that we'll continue to wrestle with over these next weeks and months as we prepare to reopen. In the meantime, we'll continue to work to stay connected even while we're apart. As Pastor Randy mentioned, we put out a letter sharing some of the decisions and next steps as church leadership that we've made, along with some encouragements about ways that you can be keeping connected and worshiping together in this time. And some of you will have received that already by email. Others, it'll be coming in the mail in the coming weeks. I would invite you to be looking for that and looking through that. I know that it's easy in these tired days, in these swampy, slow summer days, to say, why bother or don't bother? As church leadership, we're determined to bother. I can share that our pastoral team, our office team, our council and spiritual care team have put in a tremendous amount of time and energy over these past weeks, bothering the best they could. And I would challenge you to continue bothering the best that you can as well. And in the meantime, we'll hold on to that memory of the early church and the memory of our fully gathered church like photographs, praying and preparing for and eagerly awaiting the day when we can return to that again. Amen.
So in closing, we are going to be singing our last song. It's What a Fellowship, and we'll sing all verses. And we'll start with the chorus, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. now ask Pastor Nick for our parting blessing.
Well, thank you once again for coming. I know so many of us wish that we could just greet one another and embrace these folks we haven't seen in so long. But it's good to see your faces through windshields. And again, we look forward to the day when we can gather together again. Share these words of blessing as we go from this place today. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may guide you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Blessings on the rest of your day.